Hello and welcome to the next episode of Engaging Our People, a Legacy Health podcast where we highlight some of our amazing peers and the work that they do here at Legacy. I'm Nubar Akparian, Digital Marketing Specialist for Legacy's Marketing and Communications Division, and I will be your host for today's episode. When we first started this podcast, we really wanted to focus on your stories. You, the listener on your way to work, you, the person who's tuning in after a shift to unwind, we want to know what makes you you and how you became a part of the Legacy Health workforce. You might never get to work with the people you hear on this podcast. You might never interact with myself as we go about our separate work, but the stories that we share of ourselves have the power to connect us all together. That being said, we have a very special guest this episode to share his story and his experiences. Please join me in welcoming Jordan Espinoza. Jordan, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great. Glad to be here. Yeah, it's a beautiful fall day in Portland, so I can't complain.
I know. As soon as we got here, I was like, wow, the clouds cleared, the sun came out. What a beautiful time to sit inside for about a half hour and just chat. But it's always the best weather that gives us the best results, I feel
like.
So this is going to be pretty good. Well, Jordan, let's start off. Can you start by telling us what your position is here at Legacy and a little bit about yourself?
Yeah. So I work as a data analyst in the population health division, and I've been on this team for a year as of very recently. Before that, I worked in the business intelligence and data services division over in the system office, and I've worked at Legacy for I think about almost 10 years now.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. So just a little bit about myself. So my daily work tends to focus on the website itself, right?
Sure.
So edits to the website. If you ever need anything, usually it falls through my camp or some of my peers' camps. But I unfortunately don't know much about Legacy's Pop Health team and what population health really is. So if you can you explain to myself and others that are listening in that might not know what exactly is population health?
Yep. So I'll say like what our team, my team specifically focus on and the work that we support is the Legacy Health Partners, which is a clinically integrated network of providers that surrounds value-based care contracts with payers. So to take a step back, so population health is it's a field that emerged out of the care transformation movement within healthcare, which was the transition from fee-for-service care. So, you know, we bill X, Y, and Z, and we write for all those things, and you pay for those things regardless of the health outcomes. And if it worked, if it didn't work, you know, it didn't really matter. That's just what we did. So value-based care is, you know, sort of a new paradigm within healthcare where we actually are reimbursed based on the outcomes, like your health outcomes from any like interventions or, you know, things that we might do. So that's really kind of what started it. And so how that sort of like turns into something is that we enter into, there are special, you know, payer products, right? Like think about your insurance plan. There are some like Medicare Advantage, anything that deals with CMS, like those are going to be value-based care plans because CMS really understands that this is something that is really going to change the tide on the rising cost of healthcare, right? Where we want to say if you're putting money into something, you would expect to get something back. And that's really where that's going.
So on top of that, so now that we know a little bit about what population health is and sort of the value that it's, bringing, what gets you up every day? Like what's the thing that sort of drives you in your career, in your daily life? Either working within this position or working within Legacy Health as a whole.
Yeah, I mean, it may sound a little bit cheesy to say it, but the work that I do like does drive me because I'm in a very fortunate position where, like, not only am I at what I consider to be the forefront of this field, right? Which is like, this is the direction that healthcare needs to be moving in, and it's the direction that it is moving in. And it has the, well, it does and has like the potential to really like impact people's lives for the better.
Taking a step back now, looking at it through population health. So
sure.
Within your position now and just sort of what you see, what are some of the biggest challenges that you either see or face through that population health lens?
Yeah. So I would say, I guess going back to, and this is, yeah, this is, these are kind of like, you know, these are trends, you know, that you can like read about, but population health, it's looking at, so social determinants of health, right? Things like food insecurity, housing insecurity, right? Risk of violence, things like that, that we realize like how much those things tie into a population's, you know, like risk for chronic disease. And so it's like, okay, now that we have that data, what do we do about it? Mm-hmm. Right? How do you have interventions like that? Like, how do you intervene to do those things? Could we track it? Yeah, you bet. Like, we absolutely would have the, you know, like the data and infrastructure to support it. But traditionally, like, these aren't necessarily things that healthcare, right, has really been kind of associated with. But I'll give you a really good example of that. So there is a research associate, Dr. Megan Kahn, and she is great, just like so smart, so thoughtful. And she has been working with a group to address the food insecurity question. So, you know, I'm not sure exactly the details, if it's like a, you know, a pilot thing, but it is something that's rolling out. But okay, let's say that someone comes in and you ask them a questionnaire, right? Do you feel that you, right, have access to food? Not a lot. Do you eat, right, every day? Whatever it is, the questions are. But essentially, like, if the answers to those questions are, you know, no, not really, there's this program set up where, like, they will, like, hook you up with, like, shelf-stable food.
Oh, that's awesome.
Just, right? And it sounds so simple, yeah, right? I don't have it. Well, here it is. Mm-hmm. And it's thinking about like the finances of healthcare in a different way, where in one, you think like, oh, that's an expenditure, right? We're just like spending money, but like, it's the long game.
Yeah.
Where if you realize like, okay, if we spend, you know, $5,000 on this now, at what portion of that population's health outcomes increase? Mm-hmm. And then that population, as we follow them, right, through their claims and whatnot, so what portion of them, you know, don't go to the ED because their condition didn't worsen, or what portion of them don't go to the hospital for a long hospital stay and, right, have to be there beyond their time? Like, those things are what's expensive. So instead of saying like, you know, how much are we spending on this thing, it's really like, how much are we saving both ourselves and these patients, both in quality of life and their overall expenditure, right? Yeah. Depending on their plan, if they have to pay out of pocket, I mean, that can be a crippling expense. And so, yeah, I just love the idea of it. So I'm going to ask her more about it so I can learn. Cause she just told me about it the other day, and it's just like, that's a perfect example.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that defines value-based care so, mm-hmm, so perfectly.
Yeah.
Right. And I love the way that you phrase that, where it's, you know, you're not looking at the sunk cost now.
Yeah.
Right? You're not looking at the $5,000 now. It's, you know, yes, we spend $5,000 now, but how many more lives can we better, and how many more lives can we save 5, 10, 15 years down the road because we offered this? And so that's so fascinating.
Yeah,
it is an investment. Yeah.
Yeah. It follows the mission, right? The health of our community. You know what I mean? Because yeah, not everybody's problems are ones, you know, that, that maybe a traditional clinical setting is uniquely equipped to do. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, some of those things are just sort of outside of a scope. And so, yeah. But I agree. So I do like that. I like the idea of investing in the community. And in a lot of ways, I mean, it allows you to reach parts of the population that aren't, you know, quote unquote, in the healthcare system, mm-hmm, right? You know, as you become more engaged with it, right, as you get older, depending on sort of your, right, other chronic conditions that you have, you develop, that you're born with,
sure,
right? You're engaged in that. And there's like a big lived experience difference between somebody who's young, I don't really have a reason to go, right? And between people who have to go mm-hmm. or really should go, and and getting people to like care about their health. So yeah, it bridges that gap and it kind of makes it feel more inclusive. So I like that.
That's amazing. Thank you so much for sharing that. And yeah. So we're gonna pivot a little bit, Jordan, sure. because I know in our initial conversations, you know, when you and I were talking about the podcast and sort of what we wanted to sort of discuss and showcase, I found out a very, very interesting and great fact about you. So what I found out was that you're actually involved with one of our employee resource groups. Mm-hmm. So for those who don't know, can you let us know more about this ERG in specific?
Yeah, so ERGs at Legacy, so they're employee resource groups, and it's you know tied to the DEI division, diversity, equity, inclusion. So you know they're ERGs for mine specifically. So the Native American Alaskan Native ERG. There's an ERG for Pride. You know, the Hispanic ERG, the BERG, the Black and African American ERG. Yeah, so there's a handful of them, right, across different demographics. And yeah, so ours specifically is a community of, you know, people with Native or Indigenous heritage. That get together and are able to, as a community, talk about things that that affect them, talk about you know ideas that they have. It feels good to, you know, have a voice collectively. And it's also, you know, an opportunity for people of very different backgrounds to get to know each other, because, you know, the Native and Indigenous populations, you know, there's a big difference between, you know, the urban natives and, you know, the actual like tribal natives, like people who actually like belong to like local tribes here, you know, or even tribes in like a different state. Where, you know, urban, I learned that Portland has one of the highest percentage of urban natives. So, right, people with a Native or Indigenous background that just live in the city, right? Mm-hmm. Not on the res. And I had no idea. And yet it a little bit makes sense. One, like my family is here because I was born in Portland. I was actually born at Emmanuel Hospital.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It yeah. comes full circle.
Yeah. Yeah. It's sort of funny that way. But yeah, there's like a large group here. Being, you know, being an urban native where like my father's Apache, but right, they never had any ties to that tribe when he was born. And both my grandparents actually spoke Spanish as their first language.
Oh, interesting.
They never taught their children it though, because they didn't want them to have an accent, and they wanted them to have, right, better opportunities in life. They thought if you just spoke English, then people would accept you. Mm-hmm. And so, but they're from Southern Colorado, right? Southern Colorado, Northern New Mexico. We're Apache. Jicarilla, I believe it's from the Sangre de Cristo mountain range area that kind of spans those two states. But yeah, no real attachment to the tribe at all. And I don't have close connections with my family members from Colorado or Utah, so I'm disconnected. So for me, like the heritage I have is been, you know, living and growing up with my father's family who... Yeah, they're a very funny bunch. And it just, I never really noticed, you know, maybe necessarily like the differences or the anything about the experience I was having was like uniquely, you know, Native until I started reading more books. Started reading books by like Sherman Alexie and reading about like these environments or like these families or these like gatherings. And just thinking like, oh my gosh, like that's exactly like my family. Everything's a joke. Like you joke about everything. Like even if it seems tragic, it's just like everything's funny and everything's like that. And just like how people like get along and do things. It's like, huh. Yeah, I guess that's an experience that I had.
Yeah.
It's different.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, when we first started having the conversations, like it was so great to hear that, you know, this is a community. Right. Like the ERG is a community in and of itself. And sort of hearing the way that you spoke about it. I mean, I'm Armenian American, I guess you would say. Both my parents are Armenian. I speak Armenian, but I was born in America, right? I remember growing up and having these sort of different communities around because, Portland doesn't have the biggest diaspora of Armenians, but I grew up in Los Angeles where, there is a Little Armenia, which is what it's called. It's like a 7-block district,
Interesting.
And so we found those like communities in Portland as well.
Yeah.
I know how that feels in terms of like that connectivity, where you don't necessarily come from the same walks of life, right? You might not come from the same tribe, but you have this community of people that you could sort of identify with and share stories and hear their stories. And seeing that come to fruition in this ERG group within Legacy was really, just awesome for me to hear and see that other people are experiencing that as well. Mm. So that was great. And let me ask, so like what initially drove you to join this ERG? What's your current position in this ERG and sort of how did you come across it? I know a little bit about it.
Yeah, but. No. So I currently, I am the sole chair.
Okay.
Of the ERG. And when I first joined, it wasn't my intention to necessarily be in this position. I have been trying to find connection, right? It was sort of just like, I guess in some of my like, formative years in my 20s, as I guess I've been looking more inward and kind of recognizing the side of myself and my father and just like really wanting to like reconnect with my heritage. I mean, even that both my father and my mother, right? Mm-hmm. And like my Scottish roots on the other side, but really just trying to reconnect with that. And so, just asking those questions, just like, where do I start? Like, where am I accepted? Where can I walk? Where can I go? I will say that, Tess and Kim, our new chief diversity officer, really has been doing just a great job, just spearheading things, just identifying things, pulling it all together, coordinating it. And Simone Carter, who is the new DEI program director. Forgive me, Simone, if that's not quite right. but they're just doing such a good job. So I feel, even though I feel a little bit like I'm treading water, I feel very supported. Plus, I mean, you have, the Hispanic, ERG, all the Latina group. You have the Pride, like you have Mel Rivero, and the Berg in general. Like just like seeing them and how they're doing things in the community, like just being able to go to like the chairs meeting and hear what they're doing has been a good way to be like, okay. Like I can try to follow that lead and do that. But it's been good to be a part of this thing too, because we've also been getting people reaching out, like clinical groups saying like, hey, we have grant money. We would love to reach out to that community.
Yeah.
Or, hey, do you have any connections? We would like to do things. So it's been really interesting, but it also has been difficult because my experience, like one is urban, right? Mm-hmm. Like I can't speak for, and I don't have that lived experience as somebody, who's lived on a reservation, who like has connections to tribes, who goes regularly to powwows. Like that's not an experience I have, right? I'm also like biracial, and that's its own special experience. And so that's something I'd really like to do, is I would love to get a co-chair that can kind of bring a different experience that I don't have, to talk about those sort of things. So little things I'm working on. But people are like, yeah, it's a lot of work.
It does sound like a lot of work, but I mean, just hearing the way that you speak about it is just, it's so fascinating to me. And it's so, it makes you feel good hearing about it. Right. Because it's an extra like community that feels like it's being heard and seeing it grow a little bit. Right. Like you said, like, yeah, maybe right now it's not too much engagement, but there's plans set in motion and sort of following that trajectory, is really exciting. Like for somebody that's sort of just now hearing about it.
Yeah.
And I hope that it's transcends to our listeners. Right. That's the whole point of the podcast.
Yeah.
But That's wonderful. And so let me ask you, so you kind of touched upon some of like the challenges with that role, but now being the sole chair, I guess, what are some areas of opportunity or challenges that you're sort of seeing now, spearheading this ERG?
I always have kind of a hesitation, right? A caution about like what spaces can I enter, mm-hmm. right? And so I feel like that probably is very common among people who are themselves biracial, right? Who may not look Native or may not have that, but they have heritage, mm-hmm. right? And it's like, they're not quite sure. But just to say that, like, you know, we have like the exact opposite of like a one drop policy. I mean, like, if you have that heritage and you feel a connection, like, you are like welcome in this place. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I really want to like to say that if you're just trying to like find it, right, there is a place for you. Cause I mean, that's my goal, is I'm trying to like reconnect with something that I've never had, you know, not even necessarily something I've lost, but something I've never had. But I really want to like find that community and interact and engage with it. And right, like almost kind of like, yeah, I mean, just like sort of like start something new. I think that we also have like a unique opportunity to interact with and facilitate a lot of coordination between, you know, Native healthcare organizations around the area, right? Just to, you know, be invited to those spaces, start those conversations. Yeah. Hear what's going on with them, right? Like, just talk, and like, just it's a perfect group, right? We're a healthcare organization, they're a healthcare organization. We have like a lot of like resources and experience, and those places are traditionally like underfunded and they don't have a lot of resources, that, you know, they're just running on fumes. So mm-hmm. yeah. And everybody has connections to, you know, different tribes, different places who are trying to do something. So yeah, it gives us a unique opportunity in that space as well.
That's great. Yeah. I mean, I think it just all ties back into what you initially said, which is wanting to build that community, right? For people mm-hmm. that may or may not have that around yep. them, yep. and sort of a different aspect. And I think it's so interesting that you mentioned, you know, people that are biracial that may not feel like they fall into a certain group or not, because they're not, you know, 100% into this one group or another.
Right.
You know, speaking personally, I felt that way. So like I mentioned, both my parents are Armenian. I identify as Armenian. I feel that way sometimes when I look at family members from Armenia, right? Because they speak better Armenian than me, I feel a little out of place. Am I really a part of this group? Yes, I am, you know, biologically, I'm sure, ancestrally, but do I personally feel that way, right? And it's, right. I think it's growing up and then having those sort of outreach in different communities that we were a part of, where we just, you know, got to meet up with other people that were Armenian that lived in the area, right? And not necessarily, you know, from Armenia, but had different experiences, and it sort of bridges that gap and allows you to feel that connectivity that you may or may not have been feeling. So I think that's great, like just hearing the way that you're speaking about this and wanting to sort of showcase this community and engagement is wonderful. Thank you so much for sharing that, Jordan. I really appreciate that. You know, as we sort of get down to the end of the episode, is there anything else that you'd like to share to the people listening about, you know, the population health team, the work that you're doing, or, you know, within your own ERG? And then I'll also add another one. How can people sort of reach out to your ERG if they want to join and be a part of this group?
Yeah. As far as like the work I do to know about it, well, I hope at some point that you've come across it. You know, we population health, you know, also is, you know, adjacent to it and covers our legacy medical group, mm-hmm. you know, our internal clinics. And it just, the only thing to say about that is just, I feel very fortunate to work under like such great leadership and just like with such good people who want to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. That feels good. Like my own team is just, it's a special thing. As I told them, you know, I don't have a tribe, but this feels very familial to me, you mm-hmm. know, even though we come from different backgrounds, like this really is like such a good group of just so talented people. So all I want to say to them is just, I really appreciate the work that we do and the opportunity to work towards these things in a good place with people with a good heart. So shout out to them. And for the ERG, you can access us through the intranet. You can just look up the NAERG, just type like Native American, type ERG. You should find a link. You can, if you look me up in Outlook or Teams, you can just ping me in Teams, look me up on, you can email me directly, but there's a Native American ERG chairs email, and that'll go straight to me. But yeah, so there's a couple of ways to reach out, and I usually try to get back to you pretty quick.
Yeah.
But yeah, so anybody, right? If you if you have that heritage, that you belong to a tribe, you just happen to live in the city, you know, your parents or your parents' parents came from there, like everybody is welcome. And so we'd love to hear from you.
That's awesome. Thank you so much, Jordan. I really appreciate your time and your consideration and, you know, just being game to be on the podcast. I know it's new, right? So you're a trendsetter here in this way, but, you know, from our conversation and everything that, you know, we've sort of chatted about prior to this recording, I think Population Health Team and your ERG is in great hands. And it's just, it's so great to be just being able to hear all the work that's being done that I may not necessarily know about. Right. And I hope that, this also reaches, you know, our listeners and they feel that pride for other people's work. So I really appreciate you. I really appreciate your time. But that's our episode. Thank you all so much for listening into Engaging Our People. Jordan, again, I'm very glad we could talk and share your story to the rest of our peers across Legacy. And if you're hearing this message now, you've listened to the end of the episode. Thank you all for listening. We greatly value your feedback. So if you have any comments, questions, or ideas for future podcast episodes, please reach out to podcasts@lhs.org to get in touch with one of our podcast teams. Tune in to next episode of Engaging Our People, where my colleague Vicky Gwynn interviews legacy safety and security staff members and shares their stories on how they keep our clinics, hospitals, and facilities safe and secure 24/7, 365. Make sure to keep an eye out for future messaging regarding new podcast episodes, and be sure to check out legacyhealth.org/podcasts to stay up to date with each new episode.